Talking about what is a big client, right? That isn't necessarily just going out and signing a, huge job that's worth $50,000, $100,000 right off the bat. Some of our biggest clients started as smaller projects.
Sip, create, repeat. A podcast providing marketing strategies you can consume over a cup of coffee.
Welcome back to another episode of Sip, Create, Repeat. Today, we have the usual crew with us. We have Alicia, Julia, Pat, and myself. And this episode, we are going to talk about landing big clients with big budgets. We know that's a topic that if you're a freelancer or if you're a smaller agency owner or even a big agency owner, you're always still trying to figure out those different ways that different people use to attract big clients. So we'll talk about that. But first, we're going to get into some marketing news. So Alicia, can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing on the audio side of things?
Yeah, the last few episodes, I've been the one to bring you this news on this category of social networking, right? So we've been talking a lot about Clubhouse in particular. So it's no surprise that some of the other platforms are starting to get into the game. In the last week or so, you're seeing Facebook has launched its own live audio room and podcast capabilities. Shocking, Facebook saw something super popular, snagged a version for themselves and adapted it for their own platforms. So we'll see how that sort of takes a launch. Does it become as popular as some of the other Facebook features, or does it end up like Facebook stories where you're actually wondering if anyone's looking at these things, right? And then on the other side of things, which I think is personally fascinating and a great move, Spotify just launched their Spotify Green Rooms, right? Audio-based, conversation-based connecting services. I mean, let's talk about what makes sense in the world, right? Let's, Spotify, all audio, right? Like the fact that they're now bringing this to the platform is gold. So I'm really interested to see where these stick, where they land, where they stay. What does this do to Clubhouse? Do people migrate to these other platforms just because they are a little bit more established? Personally, I live in Spotify. Like it's always up on my phone or desktop. So that's something that I'm really interested in looking forward to. So this just tells you that audio-based connecting, audio-based communication is still a thing. We're still looking for podcasts. We're still looking for things to be listening to as we're multitasking, doing other things. So I'm excited to see where these head.
I'd be interested to see with that is if Spotify adopts it. And I don't know because I actually haven't had the time to sit down and play with it. It'd be interesting to see if they adopt it onto the desktop side as well, to where it's more like Discord. And if it is, then you can just have like these audio channels that you just pop up while you're on. Because I'm the same way, Alicia. Like I always have Spotify open on my computer all day long. As soon as I sit down to work until the second I sign off, and then usually into the evening as well. Like I always have Spotify open. So if you have the ability to be in the app on desktop, and you could just like create a quick chat room or create a discussion room and go from there. That's one of the things I love most about Discord. And Pat, I know you use Discord a lot and know it a little bit better, but I know we've hopped into some Discord audio channels a couple of different times, and it's just such a good quality and really quick way to connect with people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'll be interesting to see how that works, right? Because it is set up differently on Spotify. I'm interested to dive into what the Green Room app looks like and see if it is more so kind of like how Discord is, where it's like you can just click on a channel and kind of jump in. And then I also wonder if they'll have levels of being able to restrict who talks, like if it's just a listen only channel and they're only going to have a few admins and things like that. So it's going to be a really cool feature to start watching how it expands.
For sure. Julia, can you tell us, let's hear some more marketing news that you've been finding out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So something that's really exciting to me is that Google just announced their Ads Creative Studio. So this is going to be your like one-stop shop for your advertising team, where they can all work in one platform for their video, display, and audio like creation ads. And I think this is a huge move for Google. I know, like us as a team, we're always looking for ways to streamline a process, finding that platform where we can all work in one place instead of having to go to 10 different places to work. So Google putting this creative studio out there, I think is really going to help, the marketing world and the advertising world kind of come together a little bit sure. better, especially for those big teams, you know, where you've got 10 different people working on one project. It's your one place you can all be together. So I think that's huge. And then kind of going off of that advertising information, U.S. ad spending is actually up 56% as of May. So that, again, having a one-stop shop for your advertising needs is going to be great. And in that, out-of-home and radio advertising is on the rise. And that makes a lot of sense. You know, out-of-home advertising, you know, your billboards, your benches, just that stuff that you're not seeing inside, makes sense because, you know, when digital advertising was on the rise last year when we were all stuck in our houses, now that we're all kind of free in the world, seeing that rise is, it makes a lot of sense. So, you know, the advertising world, it's on the move.
For sure.
Well, so let's dive into our main topic now. So we want to talk about landing big clients with big budgets. And so, you know, Chris, define, like, what is a big client?
Well, I think for everyone, a big client is different, right? Like, Pat, think about 3 or 4 years ago what a big client was to us compared to what a big client would be to us now, right? That is like this kind of always evolving thing. The hope is that your business is continuing to grow, you know, positively, and that things are, that, you know, a big client is always changing. So really, for some people, it might be a client that's worth $2,000. If you're a freelancer that's just starting out, or you're in college and you're taking on some freelance work, like a big client may be someone who's paying you $2,000 to do whatever. Or for others, it may be someone who's paying you $50,000 or $100,000. I've seen some public RFPs. You know, I do a lot of the business development for our agency. So I see a lot of public RFPs for like cities and transportation and like all these publicly funded or grant funded, you know, projects. And some of these projects are worth $300,000, $400,000 to do, kind of like Julia said, to do bus advertising and to do bench advertising and to create all the creative for these things. So really, it just it depends on your user persona, your customer persona. And the big question I have for you is, have you ever actually defined that? Have you ever defined who your customers are, who your users are? What do they like? What are the habits that they have, whether it's online or offline? And what problems do they run into that you can fix? And once you start to create that profile, you'll understand a little bit more on how to attract them. But yeah, I think the big thing first is understanding what a big budget means to you and your realistic capabilities, you know, for your particular business.
Yeah, I think what you just hit on there, saying like your capabilities, right? That kind of changes the scope of what is a big client. You know, for us, like you were saying, 3 years ago, you and me really just being the entire agency where it was just the two of us was, you know, our workload was somewhat restricted of what we could take on as far as a big client, right? Now, as we've built out a team, we have people working in specialties, we're able to kind of raise that bar, have different service offerings, and, you know, we streamline processes. So we figured out how to do things more efficiently to get work done at a higher quality and more effectively, which then again raises the bar of what you could consider a big client. So I think, you know, to your point, it's a moving scale, and like bigger clients are going to grow as you grow. And I think that's the big key there, you know. And I think, you know, talking about what is a big client, right? That isn't necessarily just going out and signing a, you know, huge job that's worth $50,000, $100,000 right off the bat. You know, some of our biggest clients started as smaller projects that we've worked with them for the last, like, you know, 2 or 3 years growing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's starting small, building trust. You know, one of the big things we do with every client is we always do 90-day trials, right? We say, hey, let's just start off with 3 months, see if this is a good fit, how we can work together. Can we drive results for you and you like working with us, and then grow from there? You know, that's what turns it into, you know, a 2 or 3 year client that actually does get those larger budgets and that they become like that big client.
For sure. I always hear agencies, and I see, you know, publications, whether it's in like Adweek or whatever magazine, GDUSA, whatever that we get. And I see all these publications talking about their client, like their turnover rate of their clients. And I'm like, why are you letting your clients go why is there such a high churn rate amongst like your current group of clients? You should be serving them like crazy, trying to grow their businesses. And if you do, guess what? You have someone else that you can, okay, if you add a new service offering or if you expand a service offering, maybe they don't know. You know, a lot of times your clients, once they're your client, they don't really pay that much attention to your social media. You know, if they got to you through like an ad or a social post, someone tagged them in, there's oftentimes that we find that our clients are, you know, they're not stalking our social media like we stalk theirs. But what winds up happening is you forget that this group, this pool of leads is literally already in your house. And you just need to reach out to them and just say, hey, here's something new we're doing. We've expanded. We are now offering this service. We have hired so-and-so to, you know, take on this portion of business. And so many people forget about that. And we're guilty of it too. We tend to forget, oh yeah, that client, we're only doing this one thing for. Let's start to talk with them and warm them up a little bit about us, you know, maybe managing their paid media or doing content creation for them or whatever it might be. So yeah, definitely don't forget about that. The next part that is important when landing big clients a big budget is going after new leads, right? So as I said before, I do a lot of the business development for our agency. And one of the leads we have right now was a completely cold lead. Someone that I had never, you know, had a relationship with, had friends or connections with. Like usually that's an easy way to go about it. This is really where your content marketing efforts kick in, right? Are you reaching out to them to say, hey, I want to manage your social media because your social media marketing seems to be a little bit inconsistent? Well, then yours better be consistent, right? Like you better have some consistency and some quality in your social media if you're pitching them on that, right? Or if you're pitching them on running ads, then you better have a case study or client testimonials or both to be able to prove to them that you're worth it. And that should be out there, you know, in your content marketing. Does your messaging, you know, really skyrocket your value, or is it hurting your value? And that's one thing to think about too. Another thing I like to do is don't be afraid to have personality in cold outreach. There is nothing worse than sounding like a pure sales guy or sounding just boring and dry. None of that tends to work well. And you want to stand out because as business owners, and Pat, we get this all the time, our inboxes are flooded with people who are promising the best results, who are promising this and doing this, and they're going to be the cheapest but the best. That never works, by the way. So they, you know, they have no personality in these outreaches. What I tend to do is I have this prospecting tactic that I use, and I actually use an app called Loom, and it allows you to do screen recordings, but it also allows me to record a video of myself kind of like in the lower corner of it as well. So they could see my face because we're not meeting in person. It's not a networking event. So I have to try to find a way to bring personality in this. So I go ahead and have a screen recording on of my face. I go ahead and record the screen of their website or their marketing efforts. And I just talk to them very upfront and kind of blunt about it and say like, your marketing efforts aren't working because of this, or I think you guys could do better in this department. And what if you tried these things instead? And I'm giving them value, and I am going to sit here and understand that the value that I give may never have a return to my business. I'm not saying to work for free, but I'm giving them something, right? Hey, it looks like you're using a tracking code on here, but it's not set up right. I would go through and do this instead. And that's going to allow your tracking to be more accurate going forward. The end, right? And I'm not asking for much in return. Hey, if you want to, you know, chat more with me about your marketing efforts and how we can help, my contact information is below. I would love to chat more. And it works surprisingly well. Like I said before, I have a lead right now, cold lead. I connected with some random people on LinkedIn, was finding people that ran e-commerce stores. Here we are. I have to send a proposal to them here within the next couple of days. So You know, there's so many different ways that you can reach new leads. The goal is don't sound rehearsed and don't sound boring. So Pat, what are some of those other tactics that people can use to reach out to new leads?
Well, yeah, and I actually kind of just want to touch on what you were just saying there too, yeah, with about that screen recording. You know, I think it's twofold, right? You really position these screen recordings and this information not as like, hey, we're the best, we are, you know, we're awesome, we're gonna kill it for you. You position it as like, hey, I'm finding some opportunities in the stuff that you're doing or could be doing, and like these are maybe what those are. And I think it's that conversation that is more so like, not we are great, it's like we know how to help you be great, and these are the, yeah, reasons why. And so they're already more receptive to start talking to you about, well, oh, they just pointed this out, they kind of gave me some information, like I wasn't even thinking about this. Of course, they're the ones I'm going to reach out to. Let's have another conversation. And it, to your point, it lets you get your personality across. You know,
yeah,
we take most of our like onboarding or initial calls exactly how you're seeing us right now on this podcast. Like we're not showing up in a suit and tie on these video calls to try and sell them on who we are. Like we are ourselves. And like, if they get along with us and they're okay with, you know, how we are on calls, and we're not like, you know, we're not pretending to be someone we aren't. And so they get an idea of who we are, and they see that on the screen recordings, they see it on our initial calls, and it sets a really good baseline for starting that relationship and what they're going to expect. Which,
for sure,
you know, from other tactics, that's a little harder to do, right? There's things like you're going to send cold emails, you could send out an Instagram DM, you can DM on LinkedIn, you know, all those are, they're good things to do, and there obviously should be a blend of what your new lead tactics are. But you know, it's tough. It's always tough to, you know, show personality when it's just some text in a DM, right? Like it's not going to come across the same. Whereas, you know, sending those screen recordings and then, you know, following up via LinkedIn DM, or, you know, building, you know, sending them an email, it goes 10 times further than any of those other cold tactics. That's for sure. So I think, you know, it's a blend of things, right?
For sure. And I think you need to keep in mind that you need to have personality, even if you're sliding into DMs, even if you're cold emailing. You have to figure out a way, in some way, shape, or form. There's something to keep in mind. 80% of Instagram DMs to businesses are opened, right? So someone at least opens them. Now, the kicker is there may be a marketing agency running their Instagram. And so you, if you're trying to pitch them on marketing services, may be running into a bit of a brick wall because of the fact that you're running into their marketing agency that is already managing their stuff. So that's always an awkward situation to get in.
I do try to answer those in a very nonchalant, hey, we're good, sort of way. So if you are that marketing,
everything
agency,
is good.
Send them that good vibes and knowing that they are trying, yeah, to do their best in making, you know, making a buck. But it's definitely, sure, happens a lot more often than you realize. And it does give a good chuckle.
For sure.
To the,
and going back to, yeah, yeah. And going back to one of the previous episodes, if you are really uncomfortable reaching out to people, cold email, if you're uncomfortable being on video, if you're uncomfortable doing those things, please hire someone to go through and be your business development person. Because here's the kicker. And I would suggest, if you can afford it, and again, go listen to that previous podcast episode, because you probably, you know, you probably need to hire someone. But if you can, hire two salespeople. That would be my biggest suggestion. And the reason is because salespeople are incredibly competitive. And so if you hire two of them, they will just compete with each other. So if you can hire two of them, they will take care of all of this for you. Then your job is figuring out how to deal with the leads that are going to come in and stuff like that. That's another topic for another day.
Or if I can add my two cents, definitely hire, yeah, two, and let one be your outside, one be your inside, right? And then let, yeah, them work together and then vibe off of that.
Sure.
At my past job, that's exactly how we worked it. So if you are into having that super competitive sales team, always be closing vibe, yeah, there are ways to actually form very supportive sales teams that, perfect, work together to get those goals done, and everyone's commission still get paid. So I definitely think we need to dive into that one more.
Well, I hope, you know, you guys took a little bit away from this episode. You got some ideas about maybe what you need to do to kind of land bigger clients with bigger budgets. And, you know, be sure to like, subscribe, follow us on all social media, and, you know, check back in with us for more and more content from Sip, Create, Repeat. Follow us on social at Hey It's Handshake, and we'll talk to you guys next time.